Hey, Industrial Talk is brought to you by Hitachi ABB Power Grid. You want a sustainable energy future? You need digital technology. You need pioneering digital technology. You need Hitachi ABB Power Grid for a stronger, smarter, and greener grid. Find out more at HitachiABB-PowerGrid.com. And change is happening, and Deloitte is your partner. Deloitte's U.S. and global network. They always deliver measurable, sustainable results for clients and communities. It's important to have a partner like Deloitte in your corner to manage and help you through this change. Find out more. Go to Deloitte.com.
Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, welcome to Industrial Talk, the place, this platform, this digital platform is all about celebrating you industrial heroes. You are bold, you are brave. You dare greatly, you solve problems, you innovate like nobody's business, and you're just changing lives and you're changing the world. Why not? That's why we have to celebrate you. As I point to you on the video, in the hot seat, we have two incredible, and I mean incredible professionals. Omdia, that's O-M-D-I-A is the company. We've got Alex West, who is a two-timer on this particular podcast. And then we have Hansa Iyengar, okay? Hansa Iyengar. And, you know, we're going to be talking about that marriage, that desire, that need to bring IT and OT together. If you're going into that transformational world, you need to do it. Let's get cracking. Yeah. It's a great conversation. It is needed. It is one of those things that if you want to be a company that has a lot of, you know, long-term resiliency, able to sort of withstand certain changes, i.e. the pandemic, you're going to have your OT and IT people talk together in this digital transformation journey. Before we get into that interview, Industrial Talk 2.0. If you go out to industrialtalk.com, you'll see with your own two eyes, that we have created a website that is like the ESPN, for lack of a better term, of industry. It does a lot. First off, we're going to highlight news. We're going to highlight news from the very best around the world, right? All cool. It's going to be fun. It's going to be enjoyable. It's going to be entertaining. Of course, we're going to continue with our podcast in highlighting the best in industry. We're going to have news. We'll have news out there. Just go out there right now. We have news out there that is just constantly changing. If you're in industry, if you're in manufacturing, if you're in oil and gas, if you're in any of these professions, water, whatever you want to say, you're going to have to keep current because it's changing. It is fast out there. The best part about this particular site is that we have a section called I Am Industry. And you can imagine that is highlights individuals, companies, people, whatever it might be, that are giving of themselves. It's the heart side. It's the human side. It is the fun side. We're going to have a number of stories out there that, you know, we'll evaluate tech. Why not? We'll evaluate food because I like eating. I like cars. There's just a lot of great things that we can tie back to industry, back to manufacturing, whatever it might be, in that area, but it's all about the human element. And also, we got, boom, on the other side, I want to see it in action. I want to see what we're talking about in action and find the companies that are actually deploying all of this great innovation and see what it's doing. That's what we got to do. There it is, Industrial Talk 2.0. We also have, of course, our Industrial Academy, where you become a member, I pay it forward, and we have a wonderful organization down in Africa that we are sponsoring to be able to deliver cutting-edge industrial information learning to companies or to individuals that are in need of this information. Because you guys, you're that important. You're changing that world. It's that important. So you become a member, boom. We offer this free of charge to our organization that is down in Africa. And then, of course, if you want to know about associations, it's there. Springboard there. If you find an association, get involved. And then any events. We're going to just have events out there. Big, small, in between. I might be involved. I might not be involved. Doesn't really matter. It is really designed to give you one-stop capabilities for information that is all industrial. Woo! I'm excited about it. That's industrialtalk.com. Find out more. It's all cool. Now, let's get on with the interview. I really enjoyed this conversation because this is really... The technology is the technology. But the individuals like Alex and Hansa, they're the ones that have to really get it, move it forward. And it is a people conversation. It is the technology is the technology. It is to get those people, get people to capture that dream, to solve problems and leverage digital transformation. And it's that OT and IT coming together to say, yeah, this is strategic for your business. You're going to have to figure that out. You could do it incrementally, whatever way you want to do it. It is important, and they have answers. All right, Omdia. I always want to mix that word up. But anyway, enjoy the interview. All right, welcome to Industrial Talk. We have two incredible guests. I'm always excited about interviewing individuals from... I'm going to get it. Omdia. Did I get it right?
You did.
I'm all worn out by the stress of remembering and being able to pronounce that name correctly. All right. We have Hansa. Did I get that right?
Scott.
Did I? And Alex, did I get that name right?
Just about.
All right. For the listeners out there, we're going to have to start out with a little background on who you are. Starting with you, Hansa. Who are you? Talk to us.
I'm a principal analyst in Omdia's enterprise IT practice. I've been an analyst for almost 15 years now, and I've been covering the systems integration and IT services space for all this time. I do a lot of work around digital transformation itself and how that works in enterprises. And part of my role involves me advising enterprises and our enterprise customers on best practices, strategies, and, guiding them through their transformation journey.
And if you're looking out on video, she started her career at the age of 5.
No, I did not. I'm older than I look, so.
Clearly. Like Alex and I have been rode hard and put away wet. I mean, it's without a doubt. It's like, oh, geez. Oh, gosh. And Alex, this is the second time you've been on Industrial Talk, but still, give us a background.
Cool. Thanks for having us again, Scott. So, yeah, I'm Alex West. I'm an analyst at Omdia with the Industrial IoT team. So kind of a background looking at all the automation, manufacturing technology, everything from all the exciting stuff like sensors, bearings, belts and chains. But last five years as IoT's, got the buzz behind it. Now things are getting a lot more interesting. So we're really looking at that transformation of industry. So, kind of splitting the marketing.
Here's a quick little off the chart question. Do you find that the digital transformation journey, this is to you, Alex, digital transformation journey was accelerated as a result of the pandemic?
I think it was hindered, but it set the acceleration post-pandemic. Okay. So, you had the IT budgets were cut, but those companies that had already invested and they were already doing some of these remote operations and things, great, and we carry on.
They're better. The others, better off.
The cans that were being kicked down the road, now the companies are really looking at and saying, we've got to make those investments now.
All right, let's talk a little bit about convergence of OT and IT. Now, Hansa, give us a little background or define what OT and IT, what's the difference? And then, Alex, we're going to go talk a little bit about what do you mean by convergence. Give us a little definition of OT, IT.
Well, from how I look at it is OT is the part of industrial, enterprise or industrial companies that keeps it running, the machines, the manufacturing, the supply chains and all. While IT is the technology that drives these, processes and these, value chains within the business. So it was a time when, you know, for most industrial customers, when technology was primarily their supply chain software, maybe a big SAP system that, you know, they used to raise invoices and stuff. But over the period of time, we've seen that at least in the last 7 or 8 years, the use of data has accelerated significantly because there are multiple ways in which IT brings value to the industrial customer, brings optimizes efficiencies in the OT processes and the OT value chain.
So that's why convergence and bringing the two together is important, right, Alex?
Yeah, that's right. You know, you've got the operational technology side and IT have been traditionally completely siloed. You know, they don't, OT doesn't want to talk to IT, and IT kind of gets frustrated with IT. You know, it's different technologies, different persona, even different, you know, stereotyping, but different type of people in these different departments. And so there's very much been a silo. Now, as Hansen mentioned, if you want to start doing all of this digital transformation, you know, there's a lot of companies, how do we improve productivity, quality, and all these things? If you're trying to have a new approach to this, data's part of that. And now it's data from the factory floor all the way up to the enterprise level, shop floor to top floor integration. You've got to bring these two teams together, play nicely to really generate the best benefit for the business.
Yeah. That's some heavy lifting. Go ahead, Hansen.
And the data doesn't just end there. The data also has to include data from customers and the customer's customers. So if it's a manufacturer of, let's say, baking machines, they need to know what their customer is baking, how frequently they're using it. So I've seen cases where you have these manufacturers of these machinery put in IoT devices to get data from their machines that helps them provide a different set of services, you know, predictive maintenance services. And I've seen a couple of cases where the manufacturer of the machinery went from being a manufacturer or producer to a provider of services where they don't sell machines anymore, they lease it out. And they charge for that, you know, annual maintenance contracts and to build on top of it. So it's a completely new business model. That is transformative. You know, talking about moving your SAP to the cloud, that is fine. It enables transformation, but that itself is not transformative. So there is a long way to go before, you know, large industrial customers can say that they have really transformed their business.
But Alex,
just,
I'm nervous.
Just to maybe follow up on what Hans
mentioned. Go ahead.
If you think of data condition, something like condition monitoring, you're monitoring the condition, that's been done for decades now. Small increments in improvement in analytics, that's basically, as Hans mentioned, that's not transformational. But when you start measuring the health of an asset, that ties into how hard you run your operations, which ties into how well you can deliver products to your customer, when you're going to deliver it, changing potentially to selling an outcome as opposed to selling a product. Now you move, and then that linking into your supply chain. Now you're really doing what we talk about, transformational manufacturing.
See, and I think it's dead sexy what you guys are talking about, and I believe you're grabbing that data. There's gold in that data. I've got to figure out where the gold is. So I got to do a little mining. I got to get rid of some of the stuff that doesn't make sense, but there is gold in that data, and it does create a more resilient business, right? I've got greater uptime. I've got, better asset management, and it just keeps on going and going and going. And I have visibility into what my customers have, but it all starts with data and that strategy of how do you get it. Is that correct there, Hansa?
Yeah, it has to start with that convergence. And like you mentioned earlier, Scott, where I and Alex as well, where IT and OT don't talk to each other. Well, there is essentially the CEO who sits on both their heads and says, you know what, you guys have to work together. But many times it's a forced relationship. Now that kind of forcibly shoving IT down OT's throat or shoving OT down IT's throat, that has to actually stop. You know, you have to take a step back and say, you know what, this is what we are working towards. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that many industrial and manufacturing companies do not have a very clearly defined vision. And this is something that I was discussing with one of my colleagues on my podcast, Amdia's Digital Leaders podcast.
What? You have a podcast that you just sort of just, by the way,
yeah, it's a fledgling one. It's a baby.
Yeah,
it's growing.
So cool.
But we talk about things that are strategic to digital leaders, so, or you know, things that impact leadership in the digital age in that podcast. So yeah. We were just talking about the fact that you need, if you have a clearly defined vision, for example, UPS says that they want to be the enabler of global e-commerce. You know, it's one sentence, but it's short and sweet and pointed to become the enabler of global e-commerce, not just the US, not just Europe, global. Right. So what do I have to do to align myself to that vision? What are the investments I need to make? Yeah. What technologies do I need? What will help me drive my business to become the global leader in driving e-commerce supply chains across the world? So I think having that vision is the number one priority to bring that convergence between IT and OT.
Yeah, but here's the funny thing, Alex. I've heard that. You know, that's good. That I get the picture. I see it. I'm all into it. But how many times have companies come out and said, this is where we're going, and then they change their direction? They have to stick by that vision. In the case of UPS, they've got to stick by it. They've got to put the capital behind it. They've got to do that. That's where trust and a desire to do it comes from. Do you agree with that, Alex?
Yeah, and that's got to come, you know, as I said, that comes from the top down. So, well, having these initiatives, but it's also, and this comes to that ITOT,
yeah,
it's having all the teams at the table, because we sometimes hear about, hey, the CEO has said we're going to do digital transformation, and it kind of gets thrown over the wall, and the operating guy, OT guy, the engineers are like, okay, you've just told us go play with a load of technology. We need a bit more strategy, direct. So it's having that focus where IT and OT are at the same table. And like Hansen said, it's a constructive discussion. It's not just... Yeah. Here's a dictate. This is what you have to digitally transform it. How are we going to bring it together? One of the big things we find is that companies don't always look at what the pain points are. You know, there's a buzzword, digital transformation. Right, we've got to digitally transform. Let's go and throw loads of sensors out there. We'll send it all up to the cloud and figure out what we're going to figure out. And it can't. It's got to be the other way. What are we trying to do?
Yeah.
Where are we trying to go and get the OT and the IT guys on board to find, you know, What's possible? Starting with the end in mind.
See, and I love that, starting with the end in mind. But the reality is, Hansa, is that companies, to be truly resilient, to have some sort of longevity, some legacy, they're just going to have to embrace digital transformation. And it makes sense. It's not just buzzwords out there. It makes sense. Is that correct?
Of course it does. And if anything, if you look at the last 18 months, at the start of the pandemic, I think the manufacturing and the industrial segment was one that was impacted the most, when global supply chains just locked down overnight. Everything was in shortage. You know, you didn't have raw materials. You couldn't get consumers the products they needed in time. And that speaks a lot to your business, right? You're, as a manufacturer, it's your duty to get things to the market, to the shelves on time for the customers to consume. So that, and like Alex mentioned this at the top of our discussion, that he has seen there was a kind of a dip, but then the acceleration in adoption of technology has just skyrocketed. I think it has got a lot to do with this jolting reality that many of the industrial customers faced at the start of the pandemic, that, you know what, we are not as resilient as we thought we were. Our supply chains, you know, our ecosystems are not as resilient as they thought we were. So what is the problem? People move to a remote working model overnight across the globe. It was not just one place, and no company, nobody I've ever spoken to in the last 18 months had a disaster recovery or business continuity plan that accounted for a global pandemic of this nature.
Not one.
So everybody was caught unawares, and that proves. But the ones who had made those investments in technologies were the ones who were able to pivot really quickly. For example, I can locally in the US, we have Walmart. They were the one of the earliest who were able to offer online shopping pickup in store.
Yeah.
Right. So having that supply chain resilience, because they had made the investments in the technology needed to support that, and having an app, having the ability to provide consumers with a mobile phone app that they could use to quickly make those orders and check what the status is of the order. I think that makes a lot of sense. And again, it comes to having not just the digital tools in hand, but the fact that they have visibility across the entire data spectrum. They know what's where, and, you know, what's coming, what's not coming. Yeah. So again, it brings us back to the table that technology should not be invested for technology's sake, but for the sake of, you know, how can I use these tools? Technology is a tool. It's not the be all end all. It's like, how do I use this tool to make sure that I, my company can be at the best that it can ever be?
Yeah.
How do I get to Alex, better, I think.
And to Alex's point, having the end in sight, right?
Exactly.
I think, Alex, and it, maybe it's just me, I believe pre-pandemic, we were somewhat lazy. And when I say lazy, it's like, hey, whatever, to your point, Hansa, is that, you know, nobody had global pandemic on their, you know, disaster recovery plan. Nobody. It's like, ah, but that's hurricane, that's fine, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But we were lazy. But now I find that we have the ability to be able to truly trans. And I, my, me, consumers' DNA has already been altered. I look at, I like the world differently, right? And it's because I was like, yeah, I'm never going into that store over there because they bring the groceries out to me.
Yeah.
And so what do we do, Alex? How do we facilitate? There's still a lot of resistance. I'm just good, bad, and ugly, positive, negatives, everything in between. And the spectrum is definitely out there. Give us a roadmap on how we can begin to bring the OT and IT together in this whole digital world that we're living in.
Okay, yeah. Just before I do that, just jump to a point that Hansa mentioned.
Yeah.
Around that whole idea of remote, everybody was going remote. You look at how that solves a big problem in industrial. So yeah, we had COVID, it meant everybody was working from home. One of the biggest headaches for manufacturing CEOs at the moment is talent. Everybody, a lot of old people retiring.
Chart.
A loss of skills. You know, who's the people with that tacit knowledge about how to run it? So the things that are being put in place post-COVID are actually things that are crucial a little bit longer term for the industry over the next few years, as we see people retiring anyway, you know, remote centers of excellence where there's training, augmented reality, these ideas about providing additional training. So I'll just highlight that. I think Hansa used a great word, jolt. It's kind of jolted people, but it's also now supporting the future.
Yeah, I like that.
In terms of what needs to be done now, I think one of the big things is culture. You know, you've got networking and infrastructure, you've got all the technology, but the people part is key. And as Hansa mentioned, sometimes it's got to start at the CEO. But one thing that we've seen some companies do is actually transfer jobs. So we've seen it where the IT head, the CIO, has actually been pushed into a COO role or working in that type of environment, vice versa, to say, look, you guys are going to experience what their pain points and really get exposure to what they care about. You know, an IT guy, his idea of downtime is we're going to force a patch and you're going to have to run it, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And the OT side is like, you are not going to interrupt production. That's the one thing we care about. So just getting that shared experience is one way we've seen it being done.
That is interesting. Because you bring up, I've heard that conversation a number of times where, hey, I've got to do a patch. You're not bringing me down. Everybody's complaining about the IT doing whatever they can, but we have this other thing going on here. And it's a constant state of flux and pressure and friction. And it's not a good thing. I like that idea about, all right, okay, IT manager, come on over to OT and see what that's like. Okay. I think that really sort of opens up other solutions or insights, right? What else, Hansa? What else do we need to do?
Well, one more thing is that in most places, IT is given a mandate. It's like, it's your job to keep the lights running, and it's your job to make sure, you know, my OT guys get what they want on time. But then to allow them to do that also requires you to make investments in IT. But that's not how it works. It's like, hey, I know you know, IT guy, take 20% of, you know, costs off, and then at the same time, give me the world. You know, how's that going to happen? And that's not how it works. The other aspect is that many times the CIO's office short sells itself. It's like they have the ability to bring a unique perspective on the role that technology can play in bettering the business, but they don't usually do that. They are at the table, but they sit at the table and they just listen to what everybody else is saying, and then they say, oh no, what, these are the requirements that we see. And but you have to be proactive. You know, get the IT and the OT guys on the same table. Talk, and don't forget marketing. Those sure. guys are essential because they are the ones who are out in the marketplace yeah. selling to the customer. So you bring all these perspectives in as to what the customer wants, what the business wants, and what technology can do to facilitate that. I think that having that conversation where everybody is an equal partner on the table, I think that's essential.
I think just to add to that, Hans, we think a lot about the C-suite and senior leadership. It's really about bringing the people with you on the journey.
Yeah.
We see a lot of projects where, hey, we're going to do this. And you know, Bob, the maintenance engineer, says, I'm not going to have this technology come in and take my job. And, yes. you know, it gets mothballed. So it's really supporting the people that are going to be using this technology. So we see companies doing things like data citizenship programs. They have get data champions. We saw one vendor of these solutions that were doing the kind of, you know, drink your own medicine. They offered incentives where people on the line, if they came up with good applications for these projects, for digital transformation projects, they'd get a bonus. And how so now, rather than everybody seeing it as a potential yep. threat, it's like, hey, cool, we can improve our jobs. We've bought into the introduction of this technology.
So, yeah, that's like it's that. Got a lot to do with democratizing innovation within the business. It's
hold it. Hello. I got to write that one down. Democratizing of innovation.
Yeah, and that's something we are seeing. You know, when I speak to a lot of vendors and I speak to enterprises across the spectrum, not just industrial. So I see a lot of that happening in sectors like retail or hospitality and logistics and banking, where they are equipping their non-IT employees with the tools to come up with solutions that still, you know, fit the compliance and security requirements of the enterprise. They work with the existing infrastructure, but it allows them to come up with small modifications or features to do something faster, you know, get something done quicker so the customer is happy. And these innovations and are then put together, it could be a hackathon. A lot of people, you know, they use that word now, hackathon, where you have your citizen developers, as they are called, working on bringing in some new ideas, new innovative uses of existing technology within the enterprise. And I think having that approach itself is essential. And that kind of familiarizes everyone with IT. IT is not a bad word. It's not a black box where you just throw in some requirements and expect that it gives you results. But having that ability to bring, I think it requires a lot of communication, requires a lot of change management to happen in the background. But breaking that glass barrier between IT and OT and telling them that, you're not enemies. You guys are all on the same journey with everybody else in this organization. We all got to work together to pull this business down into the digital future. I think that's essential.
And especially for the industrial environment, so that's crucial also for talent acquisition. You know, the idea of yes. going into engineering, you know, who wants, you know, pick up a greasy spanner, that's not attractive to the new workforce. When you're highlighting, yes. you're tying into these other yeah. technologies, that is really crucial for the manufacturing space around talent.
That is like, it's huge. So, what I hear you saying, and it's, first off, I like the idea of transferring jobs, getting to know, be a part of this whole greater picture, see what people are doing. I like the need to invest in IT, can't just pull back and then try to do that. I understand that. I like the fact that bringing people on the journey, on this digital transformation journey, and then finally, of course, the democratizing the innovation. I like that. It has to happen from a business perspective. It makes good business sense. And it is truly, the technology is the technology, right? It's people. It always gets down to people.
Yeah.
And being able to bring them in. Okay. So we got all that. Sounds great. Kumbaya. I'm all in. But there's always roadblocks. What are the roadblocks?
The biggest one, which I see, from the technology standpoint, is the fact that I mentioned right at the start, legacy system, 30-year-old, 40-year-old yes. systems, which are which have been, you know, so many fixes have been applied on top of it. So many layers and layers of, you know, APIs or whatever you want to call it. They've been built and baked on top to such an extent that the system has become extremely brittle. And there is this fear that freezes most of the industrial CIOs in their tracks when they even think of touching that legacy system. You know what? I don't know what's going on, because 40-year-old technology, the guys who built it are dead. There's nobody there anymore who knows the code. There is no documentation that exists. But if I'm going to go tinker with it, I got to be dead sure that, yeah, I can come out of it, you know, without disrupting and without breaking the business. So what do I do? You know what? Just let it be. Let it run in the background. We build one more layer of APIs on top of it.
Right.
Because each generation of CEO does not, or CIO does not want to carry the blame of being the one who broke the business. Because, you know, end of the day, you know, it's a job. So I think getting rid of, there are tools now that are available that can help break that chain of legacy, break that dependency on the legacy system by, you know, containerizing it, by quarantining it and building incrementally. There are automation tools out there, and there are vendors who have got those tools and got the talent who can come in and take the rules, take the business rules, the logic, you know, the intricate details from the legacy system, the hundreds of thousands of customizations that have been built on top over the decades, and take them out and make sense of them and bring them to the digital age one by one, and you retire it in portions without really, you know, breaking it, essentially. So I think having that approach and having the courage, I would say, to kickstart that initiative and go ahead and do it. And once you're, it may take 3 years, it may take 5 years, but then once you have retired that legacy system, you're no longer bound by the ball and chain that prevents the business from moving at the speed and at the flexibility that the digital age demands.
See, I knew that was going to. You want to add to that there, Alex? Because that's a tough one to follow right there.
That is,
good luck for that one.
I just extend slightly. I think part is that right setting expectations around rate of change as well. You can get people, again, IT and OT is different worlds. A laptop lasts for 3 to 5 years. You know, a machine might last 50 years. And so there's this idea, hey, things have got to change. And you're not just going to replace, you know, $500,000 machines just for the sake of doing IoT. Yeah. So kind of as Hunter said, you strategize. You've got to find where you can do it now, where you're going to build it in long term. But as you're doing all of that, I think it's the data side of it, going back to what you mentioned earlier, is key. Having a very clear data management strategy. How are we going to not just recode things a little bit so they integrate and just kind of work now, but how is this going to be tied into our long-term goal of everything integrates? Having a very considered, clear data management strategy.
Yeah, I like it. You're spot on. I like it.
People say data is the new oil, but, you know, we don't put oil in our cars, we put gasoline. The data needs to be refined. So we don't need just the oil, we need refinery to make it something we can use. So it's giving that context.
Yes. Now that is the first time I've ever heard that. And I like it. I like the word.
I like it too. That's great. All right.
So I'm going to steal that and I'm going to claim it my own. No, I'm not. I won't. But I do like it. You're absolutely right. And a lot of people, this is another topic, but I've got this legacy data and it's dirty and it's filthy. And it's great. I don't even know how you begin to refine that data. Nobody ever wants to raise their hand and say, I'll take care of it. Nobody. I haven't met one person. They say, yeah, maybe, but then they just fall off. Okay, we're going to have to wrap this up. Now, Hansa, how do they get a hold of you?
You can reach us. Anybody wants to talk to me can reach me on my email ID, which is hansa.iyengar@omdia.com or askananalyst@omdia.com. So you can send a query to Ask an Analyst and they will get put you in touch with me or Alex or whoever else it is within Omdia who can answer that question for you.
Like that, Alex, how do we get a hold of you? Because you did well against Hansa, because she's tough. I'm telling you right now, she's tough.
Good.
Right there.
Now, alex.west.omdia.com. Ask an Alex, also I'm on LinkedIn as well. So
all right.
Happy to follow up, answer any questions.
You guys were absolutely wonderful. Thank you very much. You brought a lot of clarity into a topic that I believe, well, is still at the beginning. And it is still a journey. I always talk about the journey. But you're the professionals. I am just the humble learner in this whole event. Thank you very much for being on the podcast.
Our pleasure. Thank you, Scott, for having us.
All right, listeners, we're going to wrap it up on the other side. You know, you're going to have all the contact information with both of these fine professionals. So don't come to me and say I can't get a hold of them, because that's a lie, because it'll be out on industrialtalk.com. So stay tuned.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
I'm telling you right now, that was a great interview, and I really appreciate Alex and Hansa joining me on Industrial Talk, and you joining me, because I love learning from the best. It is so exciting, because I don't have the answers, but they do, or they're in the game. They're searching for solutions. You're searching for solutions. You're an industrial professional. I'm just a sponge, an industrial sponge, soaking it up. I'm living the dream. I'm just learning from the best. All right. Again, Industrial Talk 2.0. That's it. I have no other name for it. ESPN of industry is going to continue to grow. It's going to continue to evolve. And it's going to continue to celebrate you, industrial professionals. Be bold. Be brave. Dare greatly. Hang out with Alex and Hansa, because they're bold, brave, and daring greatly. And you know what you're going to do? Change the world. That's right. Okay, we're going to have another great interview right around the corner. So thank you very much for joining Industrial Talk. Stay tuned.